Hello, folks, and welcome to the September 21st edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
And I'm Uncle Bill. Hi.
Hi. We've got some unfortunate news for you this week, Uncle Bill.
Well, what's that?
Jesco is taking another hiatus from the show. Some of the hurtful things that T-shirt Joe Garcia was saying got to her.
Mm-hmm. And as always, she's taking to her sorrows through smoking medicinal marijuana and taking that over the edge.
I want some of that medicinal stuff, boss.
Yeah, and she has actually started to lace it with the embalming fluid, which, you know, that causes hallucinations, and that's where she's at right now. She's fighting off the scream demons.
Yeah. They all have Joe's face on them.
Yeah.
The little demons.
Buddy, I want you to answer me this, because I laughed my fucking ass off, literally. I didn't literally laugh my ass off, but I was laughing like a really long time about this. What the fuck's he doing at a tennis match? Just thinking about that in my mind. It's just like...
Well, I put it that way because I knew it'd be kind of funny to you, but it's his daughter's tennis.
Oh, okay. I just had
Can you imagine
fucking,
Joe, yeah.
That would be amazing.
He would have one of those fucking sweatbands on and shit. Frolicking around, little
fucking
shorts.
John McEnroe out there or something.
Yeah. But yeah, that was the story.
Yeah, we were going to do a roundtable for this show, by the way, but nobody would fucking, we couldn't get anybody together to do
we
it.
We couldn't get any reputable people together. And by reputable, that means people that we know will actually hold like a decent conversation.
Yeah, it gets harder and harder to do these shows anymore because we used to do them, we just do them, you know what I mean? And then pick whoever. And a couple times, like, I think it was the first or second time we did it, I can remember.
We made a little mistake getting somebody that was, you know, I could understand being nervous on, like, if you're on fucking Larry King or whoever it is, Lars, whatever, what's his name now?
Piers Morgan.
Lars.
Lars Ulrich.
Hello. I just know he's some fucking English douche.
Yeah.
Hello, my name's Lars Morgan, it is. And I've got John McEnroe on here to talk about his tennis career, I do.
He's on my show.
Good evening, John McEnroe. Hello, how are you this evening, sir? I'm a proper little English douche.
I'm an English gent.
Hello, sir. Anyway.
But, yeah.
I don't know why anybody give a talk show to some fucking Englishman. Goddamn, I can't stand listening to English people. No offense to any of them out there.
You just hate
I think them. There was one particular English person that turned me against every English person, and I think you know who it is.
Oh, yeah. He's a piece of trash.
Hey, hello, I'm some crazy Englishman in a fucking dark room talking about horror movies. I am.
That's some creepy shit right there.
Let's talk about one of my favorite horror movies. Not 1982's Fright Eye the 13th Part 3 in 3D.
Yeah, I completely remember that guy's insane bullshit. He's still around, by the way.
I'm fucking crazy, I'm.
I just picture him like, whenever I picture where he lives, really, it's always like a basement somewhere where he's just like huddled down on his internet like, nah.
I don't think somebody like that lives. They just fucking exist.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a show this week, though. We're actually talking about, we had no fucking clue what the show was going to be about just because both of us have been really busy with other things. We got the screening coming up Saturday night. It's going to be huge. Hopefully. We'll see how it goes.
I think it'll actually do really well, though. I mean, like I said, we know that a bunch of people have ordered tickets in, like, bulk.
We've had people order. There was one person that at the Strand that bought 14 fucking tickets right in a row, which I was like, what the fuck is that?
There's been other people that bought, like, six or seven, I know, at one time.
So, you know, it's doing pretty good. I mean, we'll see how the crowd goes. I think a lot of people are buying tickets just to support it, which is cool, too. But I'd like to see, actually, a lot of people.
I mean, I'd like to see it, but it's really inconsequential, to be honest, because in terms of doing it again.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to pay money and just buy tickets and donate them, or like whatever you want to do with it.
If you want to do that,
it's all about making the money for them. If we want to do it again,
definitely tickets still available. And what we're going to do is kind of unprecedented, because from what I understand, the screening, once the tickets go off sale Saturday, the tickets for Halloween go on sale.
That one, and I think we could both agree on this, that one will sell out. I would bet just about anything on that, that will sell out.
Well, it's a movie that everybody knows, and it's going to be around Halloween. And we showed Halloween 4 last year, and it was pretty much sold out then.
Yeah.
So.
And everybody we've talked to about it has been like, oh, fuck, I'm coming. Anybody.
And the thing is, too, is what people need to realize is this is a really good print of Halloween. This is a 35mm, not a Blu-ray, which is what the big re-release is going to be, pretty much Blu-ray. You know, shit. Anyway, come out and support it. Madman coming up this Saturday night, and on Saturday, the 27th, I guess it's technically going to be midnight on the 28th, we have Halloween in 35mm. What is it, about 2 or 3 days before actually Halloween? Mm-hmm. So you can't get any better than that.
You can't beat it, yeah. And I was looking around earlier, last couple of days, it really kind of hit me that it is fall. I mean, it's starting to get cooler. Trees are starting to change. I always love this time of year, because this is the time of year when I start to get out, like, the Halloween kind of music. Like, the Misfits, to me, have always been...
You start singing all your songs.
Yeah.
Anything gonna happen on Halloween. Your dog could turn into a cat. You know something I was thinking about, though, recently, too? Because we did it last year, and we've got to do it again this year, is the Dead Pit Halloween Spooky Spooktacular, because it was just...
I've got to remember that one song at least, the one that's like, it's going to get really fucking spooky. That was like
we'll have to rehearse that and maybe come up with some new songs this year. And also, definitely do a reading from the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books, which a lot of people seem to really like that a lot too.
It's very it's like a new, you know how they used to do the old things on the radio where they would read old classic gothic horror songs?
Yeah.
That's like, this is the new wave of that. Like, this is stuff you read when you were a kid.
Something else I was thinking about though too, and because I was talking with a couple people on Facebook about the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, is just how spooky the fucking artwork was in those books too. And like, if I were to ever, well, I'm not saying anytime soon I'm planning on it, get any kind of tattoos or anything, I think that something like that would be cool as fuck to get.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not a dude that just did that got all those
tattoos.
There are
people. I actually looked it up. Yeah, there's somebody that, you know how Sean Clark has the Twilight Zone sleeve? Somebody had a sleeve of like a lot of the artwork from the Scary Stories.
It seems like it'd be hard to do the way they did that, too. It was like a tattoo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all black and white, and just, I don't know, it's just, because the artist that did that, I was reading about the artist that did the, I think his name's Stephen Gamble. What's weird is, aside from those series, like, he's a children's artist. He did only children's books and stuff from that point on.
He probably went crazy doing them damn children's books, like, I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to do this.
But like, and there's like a big uproar because they re-released, like, I guess his one book, and they took the artwork out, which I think is shitty. You know, they changed it.
They took the artwork out of the book?
They changed it, changed the artwork.
Because people are pussies now?
Yeah.
That's too scary.
It's for kids.
Them kids going to
be for children.
Yeah. Dude, do you remember speaking of that, like, speaking of things being too, like, scary and graphic and stuff like that? I think it was the 60s when they first came out, but I remember them in the 80s. You remember those goddamn Mars Attack cards and all that stuff?
I remember when the Tim Burton movie came out and all that.
Okay, there was two different kinds of these, and I've talked about them before. Like, there was the Mars Attacks one that came out before I was even born, and they're like some of the most graphic shit, like fucking Martians killing dogs and like, you know, murdering people's parents on these trading cards now for these kids to buy and everything.
Good.
And then when I was a kid in the 80s, you had the When Dinosaurs Attack, which was that exact theme. And somebody sent me a shit ton of those recently, too. Or not recently, but a few years ago. But, like, it was the same theme, like, dinosaurs ripping people apart and, like, eating them and killing them and all this stuff. And then you got people complaining about shit like that now, like, oh, we can't.
We can't do that.
We can't have a black and white drawing anything scary.
Yeah, it's certain things like that's just stupid, if you ask me. I mean, Halloween should be the one time of year where even little kids can dress up and be scary, you know. Like, if I ever have a fucking kid, which I hope to God that never happens, just because I'm not a kid person. But I'll be goddamned, like, after that kid's old enough to know what he's fucking doing, he ain't dressing up no goddamn clown and shit. No fucking little pirate. Fucking, oh, yeah. He's fucking going to be some scary little zombie or some demon or something.
What if he wanted to be a pirate?
No.
You're going to tell him that? No.
You're not allowed to be like these other little pussy fucking kids out there.
That's mean.
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to figure out what the hell Piper's going to be, actually.
What? No, fuck. Was she a pumpkin last year?
Yeah, that's all she could be, really.
I'm a pumpkin. I don't know what the fuck's going on here.
This time she can actually walk, though. That'd be much more entertaining.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like...
You know what would be really fucking killer, though? Like, I know you'd never do it, but I think it'd be an interesting concept. Because she don't give a fuck. She sees all this shit. Dress her up like a little zombie.
Who said I wouldn't do that? I probably would do that.
I know Jess probably wouldn't do that, though. She wouldn't want
to. I know what Jess wants her to be, though.
What?
A fairy.
Shh, God. Whatever. I'm not surprised.
She bought little, like, fairy wings and shit to put on her.
You got my little fairy.
Here's what we're going to do. You're going to put them wings on, we're going to throw you at people and help the door. It looks like you're flying.
Like, I can only remember a couple of times. Like, I know I was Dracula one year, and I was Jason one year.
I think everybody was Jason one year at least.
I think I was Jason a couple of years or something. I can't really even remember what.
I remember having a really cool zombie mask one time. I was like a zombie.
I do remember one that was hilarious that I don't know if I ever mentioned on here. When I was about 12, 13 years old, I started helping out. And this was back when they had the safe trick or treat, when they'd actually have haunted house in it and shit.
Right.
And I used to help out with the haunted houses. And this is just so weird because you wouldn't think of it, but it was funnier than fuck. I wish to God, had I had a camera back then, we would have filmed some of this stuff. But right as the haunted house was over, there was like a little stairway where, like, you could hide, right? Somebody could hide. And the crowd would go out this exit and turn out to the parking lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the stairway was there, and you couldn't see anybody under it. So whenever anybody would come under the stairway, I was dressed up as one of the bushwhackers.
Why?
I don't know. It's just bizarre. And I would scare the fuck out of them people. And we had mascara, beard, I had the bushwhacker hat, I had the camouflage and the, you know, the black
top.
Okay,
I'm curious. To scare them, did you go, whoa?
Yes.
Oh, God, that's amazing.
Yay!
I'm about to go, oh, God.
I remember my voice was, like, gone after that, but it was fucking awesome.
You know, like, some little kids sitting in his room, right, or some older guy now, I guess, sitting in his room now, like, God damn it, something
happened. What the fuck was that thing? I'm sure most of them was like, God damn it, little kid with a mascara on his face.
What the hell is that supposed to be?
Yeah, that was something that just came to mind, though.
It's a bushwhacker, boy.
So anyway, for the show this week, we have decided, since there's a little graph, and I'm going to pull it up here whenever we talk about this subject, that was really, like, astonishing to me, because it went through 91, 2001, 2011, you know, over a span of, you know, 30 years or so. How many original films were box office hits, you know, and not, we don't really want to talk about that, but we want to talk about, like, the way the movie business is now. And I think that'd be interesting. We haven't really done that as far as theatrical releases and stuff goes.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be an interesting topic to get into.
Yeah. I don't know what in the hell we could even call the show itself, like the horrors of the movie business or something like that. Who knows?
I don't know either. Movie meltdown.
But, yeah, I mean, just a weird trend that, you know, 10 years ago we thought it was pretty bad, but fast forward, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just the lack of anything new.
Well, you know what?
Is just really sad out there.
There's an argument about that is, I've heard this a couple times from a couple different people. that the thing that we hated the most about the genre is actually the thing that made it popular at that time. And the reason why that it's died is because all the torture porn and the stuff like that died, like that trend died, and that was what was keeping everything alive, really.
Well, that's probably true, but I mean, that doesn't mean that we have to like every goddamn thing that comes out.
I like everything.
Do you?
I really do.
I know we're supposed to rise above hate, and we do have the new Rise Above Hate t-shirts that's going to be out at Scarefest, by
right.
the way. People
are Which are awesome.
I've never, ever seen us, like, even put up a photo where people private messaged me and emailing me wanting me to save them a fucking shirt.
Oh, really?
So, I'm not expecting us to have any of these shirts left after Scarefest. I'm hoping everybody will buy them.
Me too. How many do we have? Like, is there a large run or a small run?
It's a small run. It's just 20 shirts because Joe has been really busy with shit lately. I don't know. Like, his business is exploding, baby.
Business.
I think he needs to hire some fucking extra, like, masters.
I know you're going to say
They're not going to cost you that much, Joe. No. I mean, golly, get some of your cousins
to help out or
something.
Get a fucking cerveza and a bean burrito and go at it, goddamn.
Yeah. You know, a lot of them work for packets of hot sauce, probably. So, anyway. Okay!
See?
Anyway. We got to, what in the hell was I even talking about? I was segueing to the goddamn shirt somehow.
I don't know what the hell you were segueing into the shirt for.
Whatever. But anyway, later on we're going to be talking about the movie business.
Business. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you, too. This is just an interesting side note that I thought was hilarious. The person that is training Jesco in her new job, it's a woman. Guess what her name is?
Dorcas.
That'd be amazing, but no. Her name's Dusty.
The woman?
Yes.
What the fuck's a woman doing named Dusty?
I don't know, but I thought that was killer. I'm back. Here's what we're going to do. Get over on him. Get on him IVs, if you will.
I feel sorry for anybody trying to train Jess doing anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to talk the movie business a little bit later. We do have some news to get to, so we might as well dive right on in head first violently.
All right. The, the Halloween remake reboot.
Oh, my God.
It says the film was in line to be rebooted yet again a few months back when the Weinstein Company was courting partners to help them develop a new Michael Myers outing. Platinum Dunes, which is the company behind a string of really shitty remakes, was in talks at one time. However, those talks dissolved, leaving the Weinstein still wondering what to do with the property. So in the wake of all this, there's a storyboard artist, Federico D'Alessandro, who has worked on most of Marvel's feature films, has revealed his pitch reel to Platinum Dunes. He says he's vying for the directing gig. Says after the jump, his reel, which will give you an idea of what was planned, should be reiterated that this film is not the film that's happening, but just a proposed take. Okay. So D'Alessandro writes, as a lifelong Halloween fan, it would be a dream to direct a reboot of the franchise that's so near and dear to my heart. I created this, what is that?
Animatic
to show the tone and storytelling that I would bring to the project if I were lucky enough to have the chance. If you like it, please repost it. If this gets enough posts, who knows, maybe I'll get that opportunity. For more of my work, including my short film, blah, 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 go to thefilmartist.com.
Yeah, this, and you can get that, like if you want to see that animatic, and I put it on there because it's just so simple. It's like a storyboard come to life, right? And it's something this guy did, I'm willing to guess, pretty much by himself. And it's better than the Rob Zombie. It's already better than the Rob Zombie versions of the movie.
It has to be, man.
Like, because he created the beginning scene in that movie, or that animatic, whatever he did, is like, it creates instant, like, it's an amazing intro to a movie. You know, it's just good.
One thing, when I look back at those movies, the zombie Halloween movies, above anything else, to me, those movies were just fucking silly. Like, when I think about them now, I'm just like, wow. Like, he created a whole world of just the most silly shit to take place in, like, a Halloween-style film.
Well,
it's already dated. Like, the whole fucking...
Yeah, he wanted to make his, it really is his version, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is like just fucking stupid, over-the-top bullshit. Like, I've never, ever, especially the opening, like with the family, all the family getting together, and like, you know, William Forsythe especially, who you could tell probably had a really fun time doing that because he was just acting so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway.
I hated that shit, though.
Yeah,
I
mean, I've seen a lot of white trash, and we live around a lot of white trash, and a lot of people consider us even white trash. But goddamn it, man. That's just, I've never seen any of them act like that.
No.
I gotta say. Anyway, another little quick tidbit here, and then we'll hit a break. The Shining sequel, Stephen King's sequel entitled Dr. Sleep, Uncle Bill, is scheduled to hit bookstores on September 24th, 2013. And the novel focuses on Danny Torrance, who meets a band of psychic vampires feeding off of people's energy.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Hey, did you like The Shining? Well, you're going to hate this. Because it hadn't anything to do with
it. Danny Torrance is going to be in it, and there's going to be some psychic vampire fucking with him.
Is this the first, like, novel that Stephen King has done, like, a sequel to?
Fuck, I don't know. I'm not a Stephen King expert.
I mean, I know he's done other novels.
The Dark Tower.
Well, that was like a series, like, though. But, I mean, like, where you do one book, and then, like, later, 20 years later or whatever, do a, like, a sequel.
He did The Rage Carry, too.
I'm pretty sure he did.
So, yeah, I don't know what to... I don't know what to really say about Dr. Sleep. It sounds stupider than fuck. That's about the only thing I can say about it. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple other things to talk about. And some releases, conventions, stuff like that. We'll be back after this break here on DizPit.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is...
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
This is Dan Myrick, co-writer, co-director of the Blair Witch Project, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back, yo bitch hogs.
Hi, buddy.
How's everybody doing?
How's everybody doing out there tonight? Y'all ready to rock and roll, strut and stroll?
Woo!
That's actually the Rockers.
Oh, yeah.
We're rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling.
But anyway, we're going to read some more fucking horror news to you, and we don't have that much more.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot going on, is there?
No. I'm curious. Like,
that's weird, too, because it's usually really hot this time of year.
What are the other sites doing that do this kind of shit? Like, because there's like 50 of them.
I don't know. They're all blowing each other. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Oh.
I bet they are, actually.
So-and-so from Dead Central, 69 and other fucker from fucking Shock Tea Drop. Oh, my God. That's great news.
They're going to start each other's independent horror films. Look here. I made this piece of shit. Ain't nobody gonna see it. Look at this.
The deal is, though, and people don't realize this, because I don't think a lot of people actually go to any of these sites. But the thing is that I think is hilarious is you've got people that actually have, like, journalism degrees, right? Some of these people do. And they're doing horror news. Like, that's their niche.
What kind of degree in journalism do they have to be doing that?
I don't know. But, like, I'm thinking you're in a... I guess, like, you know, if you're in a bigger area, like, you know, you can do that and make a living out of it or something. Who knows?
Really?
But,
I don't even know if you can do that, really.
Check out my website, Chalk Till You Drop.
Like, that's still... Like, I don't have anything against anybody from that shit, but that's the shittiest name for a website ever.
What are you talking about? You're talking about Chalk Till You Drop. Chalk Till Your Dick Falls Off. Yeah, that is pretty horrible.
Like, okay. What did he do before? He was with... I think he was with Fangoria or something, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think he was. We're talking about, of course, the illustrious horror journalist Ryan Rotten.
I don't know what he was with.
I think he was with Fangoria. And then, like, he was like, okay, man, I'm going to get brutal. I'm going to do my own thing. It's time for me to branch out and do my own site.
So if by getting brutal you mean that he has all of his photographs stamped with Shock Till You Drop on them, he has gotten brutal.
He's gotten flat out brutal.
I'm going to steal your picture, bitch.
Yeah, which is funny, because, like, I'm thinking, because his big thing, too, is, like, he's got the little watermark photo of the logo on there.
Yeah.
So, anybody uses that, by God, they're going to have to know it come from Shock Till You Drop.
At this point, it's like, whatever. I mean, there's
that's the way I feel about it. It's just ridiculous.
Like, there's like 50 websites like that, and whatever.
In my opinion, unless you're the photographer that took the goddamn photo, that's the only right you would ever have to put a watermark on any goddamn thing.
But it was a scoop. If it's a scoop, then you...
Somebody email me this first. Here's my fucking logo. Fuck yeah.
Fuck you. You ain't using it, bitch, without me knowing about it.
Yeah.
I always hated that, too.
I got a goddamn scoop.
That was one thing I always fucking hated about websites. I'd never go on websites that did this, where they put it to where you couldn't right-click on any pictures or anything. Yeah. You can't do that on here. Fuck you. You can't save nothing.
This is ours.
That'd be awesome if it popped up and said, fuck you, no.
We were to do that on... That'd be Dead Pit Premium. Yeah. Dead Pit Premium.
All the pictures, you can't save them or anything.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as stuff that the sites are reporting on now, I'm guessing it's just the same shit that we're talking about, which is sad.
Yeah. That's the saddest part of everything.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on with this, though. This is actually a pretty cool story, and I've already ordered this, so...
I've ordered multiple copies.
Document of the Dead, Synapse Films, and our good buddy Don May Jr. is bringing Roy Frumpke's amazing 1978 documentary, which is an intimate look at George Romero's creative process and the making of Dawn of the Dead, to Blu-ray DVD combo in a definitive edition on November the 13th. It says the doc is already... an outstanding collection of interviews, effects demonstrations, and behind-the-scenes footage. However, the newly remastered and re-edited 2012 version will contain all new exclusive material, including additional interviews with Romero's family and friends, candid on-set footage from Two Evil Eyes, Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and Survival of the Dead. The definitive Document of the Dead Blu-ray DVD combo is limited to 1,500 copies and is only available through the Synapse website. It will not be sold in stores, and the release contains a DVD of the new version of the definitive Document of the Dead, along with a new commentary, as well as a Blu-ray of the original 66-minute, 16mm, 1979 version of the documentary. Oh, my Lord. It's also included in this is a limited edition fold-out poster created by artist Wes Benscooter.
You got to be down with Wes Benscooter.
Of the new George A. Romero painting used on the cover art. So that's awesome.
Which is pretty badass. Yeah.
There's two, by the way, that are really, like, getting everybody's attention right now. Limited edition kind of Blu-rays.
Right. I didn't have the other one in here. We can go ahead and talk about it as well.
And one of them is this, of course, Document of the Dead. Amazing documentary. Love it. The other one is the same company that put out the fucking... Well, not the same company, but a branch of the same company that put out the fucking Fright Night.
Oh, it's the same people.
Oh, is it? Blu-ray. Yeah. are putting out Night of the Living Dead 90 on Blu-ray. And I really love that fucking movie, like, honestly. A lot of memories from childhood about that movie, too. But it's like, it is like $30. Like,
both
if you want to buy the
like
fucking
$30.
Thing. Yeah.
And I think that the Night of the Living Dead 1990 is down to about 500 copies left. And that's, I think it just went up last week, pre-order. This is a pre-order, and this it's going to be sold out by the time, I think it comes out October the 9th or October 10th, around that time. So,
if you think about it, that's weird, man. Like, that many people would give that much of a shit about Night of the Living Dead 90.
Well, the thing is like, it's selling out way quicker than the Fright Night one even did. Like, the Fright Night one actually went on sale, its release date, and still lasted a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if people are just wising up to the fact that, which is what I bought multiple copies of this one, too.
I think that's what's happening, really.
Because the Fright Night DVD is still going pretty much consistently over $100 on eBay.
Do you think there'll ever be, like, a Fright Night Blu-ray official release?
I think that'll be one they'll... Because Sony can do one right now if they wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, the deal that they make with Twilight Time, and that's the name of the company that's doing this, they get 3,000 copies to sell. Their rights are up after that 3,000 copies, and they can't make any more. They can't make any less. They have to make at least 3,000 copies. So it can either make them or break them, because they've got some of these that never sell out. You know, some of these movies. Some of them are strange that they have on there.
I noticed another one that was up there. It was like, Night of the Living Dead 90 was number one, and the second one was one that I remember from when I was a kid, too.
Enemy Mine,
which is Randy Quaid and Lou Gossett Jr., where one's an alien, the other one's a human. They're, like, trapped together. I don't remember how or why they got trapped, but...
I remember the VHS case, I think, when I was a kid.
It's a good movie, actually. It's not a bad movie. It's like a science fiction movie, but...
But, yeah, I mean...
I would have never picked that, though.
I can tell you this. I mean, the Fright Night Blu-ray looks amazing. I mean, they did an excellent job on that. I'm guessing they probably, it's much like Criterion. I mean, they get a hold and they're able to do a copy. I mean, they can make a lot of money really quick with these releases, and then they go on to the next one. A couple of ones that I was surprised to see on there, though, because they were major hits when they came out. One in particular is like the number one movie for middle-aged women. Which I don't know if the fact that it's just people...
Is that not out on Blu-ray?
What?
What you're talking about. It's still Magnolia, isn't it? Is that not out on Blu-ray?
It's never been released on Blu-ray.
That's
fucking
weird.
And they're getting the first run at it, I guess.
Yeah.
And another one, which was an award-winning movie, As Good As It Gets, which is, Jack Nicholson. I mean, it's a great movie. It really is a really great movie.
That's fucking bizarre, though, those ones.
Like, I was shocked at that, but I can tell you this. I do know what's on the slate. The next horror title, or one of the next coming up early next year, is a John Carpenter movie that they got. Take a guess which one that is.
It's got to be the only one I can think of that's not being released, like, by somebody else. It would have to be Prince of Darkness. Well, goddamn, which one is it? Let's see. On Blu-ray, right?
You shitter.
Christine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that.
So that one's the next one.
Fuck yeah.
So that'll probably sell out pretty quick, too, I'm guessing. That's funny how you know what that is, that guy. You shitter.
That guy was amazing.
So anyway...
They should have. One thing they should do is have a commentary with Buddy Ripperton, though.
Yeah, I know Sean Clark's representing Buddy Ripperton at conventions
now.
Yeah,
that's where they
should. How many conventions they're going to fucking let Buddy Ripperton in. Whatever. How many people honestly would even know who the fuck that guy was? Like, besides us, because we actually made a fucking song about Buddy Ripperton years ago.
Yeah, probably not that many.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's fucking Buddy Ripperton!
You get somebody like Crater, though. That's who that's directed at.
Buddy.
It's Buddy Ripperton. Yeah.
So, anyway, Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah!
Lords of Salem. After much speculation and a heated bidding war, Anchor Bay Films emerges the new home for Rob Zombie's film. Under the agreement, Anchor Bay will handle all U.S. distribution rights to the film. It's written and directed by Rob Zombie. Lords of Salem stars Sherry Moon Zombie, Bruce Davidson, Jeff Daniel Phillips, Ken Foree, Patricia Quinn, Dee Wallace, and Judy Geese. And the film premiered last week at the 2012 Toronto International Film Festival and received rave reviews from mainstream and genre critics alike. The president of Anchor Bay, Bill Clark, made the announcement today. We are extremely excited about working on this film with Rob. It's a perfect fit for Anchor Bay. I've always been a fan of the care and respect Anchor Bay has put into genre titles, Rob Zombie said, and I can't wait to work together to bring this bizarre movie to the masses. So, I've never, like, I don't know if this means home video distribution or theatrical, because I think Anchor Bay does do, I just haven't really noticed, like, they did Surfer Dude and shit like that,
right.
Like, theatrical runs. But I guess this is one of their bigger ones that they did, they're going to do a theatrical run on, I'm guessing.
Honestly, though, man, like, even though it is Rob Zombie, I really have a hard time, like, at this point, picturing this movie being a mainstream movie. Like, just the way things are
right
now.
Yeah, you would think, like, a larger studio would want it or something, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that kind of shows you something, though. I mean, this guy just made, like, all of those movies that made a lot of money. Well, except for Halloween 2, but, I mean, the Halloween remake made a lot of money. And I think Devil's Rejects made quite a bit of money. So, it's like, you'd think somebody would be like, well, I mean, he's pretty...
I don't know. I mean, like, I think a lot of them are thinking, like, you know, he hasn't made anything fresh in such a long time, so maybe it's a gamble. I don't know. I mean, and The Devil's Rejects, like, I don't remember it. Did it do really well? I mean, I don't remember.
I mean, it didn't do amazingly or anything, but I think it made, and some asshole's going to write in if I say anything.
Damn you! How dare you not know that?
I'm pretty sure that it made, I want to say, between 30 to 40 million dollars, which, well, considering it didn't really look like it had a budget of anything, it was probably
And the thing too, man, I mean, that I want to say, and I know we talk a lot of shit about Rob Zombie, but every one of his movies, I think, have been huge money makers, just because, I mean, they all do great on DVD and Blu-ray. All of his movies are really marketable too, because they all have, like, a distinct look. There's action figures that come out with shit. I mean, I'm surprised at this. I mean, I figured, you know, a larger company. I'm shocked that Lionsgate didn't want this.
Me too.
You know, because, I mean, this has got their stank all over it already, really.
Stank.
Yeah. So, I mean.
They're already doing fucking House of Thousand Corpses reunions.
Yeah.
That's how much.
As sad as it is, though, it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Pretty much,
but that's how much of, like, a cult kind of filmmaker he is. It's been 10 years, they're already doing goddamn.
I mean, you know, I mean, what I'm saying is each movie he does and each character he creates is memorable, you know, and it's something that maybe not, that we're not huge on, but that people dig, man. And I mean, I'm thinking, I want to be honest, I'm thinking that, and he's got the ability as far as a vision goes, and I don't know about a script or any of that shit, but he's got a really creative mind and he can come up with some amazing characters and, he just, you know, I think he gets it pretty much. And I'm surprised that, you know, Anchor Bay Films, I mean, maybe it'll work out good for him. I don't know. But
yeah,
that just doesn't seem like the studio that I would be my first pick.
I wouldn't have even, that wouldn't even enter my mind, really.
But hey, you know, at least that whenever it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray, we'll definitely get to review it.
I figure they'd be busy working on the Kangaroo Jack Blu-ray.
Anchor Bay's a weird company, though, man. I mean, they've went through so many different incarnations.
Yeah, and the last incarnation, the latest one's been really shitty.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Well, I mean, they do get a hold of some decent independent movies, but not many. And, like, it's just changed so much in the past. Like, it's not even been 10 years since, you know, past 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, can you remember, I think it's 2007, 2006, 2007, when they did the Masters of Horror set and stuff like that?
I think that period, like, from when we started doing the show for, like, 3 or 4 years, actually, after we started doing the show, was actually, like, a really good period, like, really for their releases. And then it just, something just fucking happened. I don't know what happened, but they started going completely off the rails about what they were releasing. They started doing more independent movies and, like, more.
Well, they changed ownerships, I don't know how many times. I mean, you had the original Anchor Bay, then it was bought out by IDT or something like that, IDT Entertainment.
And that was when Stars and all that shit came into it?
And then, it was something to do with Stars, and now something, it's somebody else.
But I can't imagine the stuff they were putting out around that time could make any money. It was like workout videos and shit.
They did
like
a lot of, what was the, that TV show? They did a lot of really stupid TV shows, too, like just. Didn't they do the commish and shit like that?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Like stuff that nobody would fucking want on DVD.
I
want
to see the commish, bitch.
I want the commish first lane away. Now.
Yeah, but Lords of Salem, I'm definitely looking forward. It's probably my most, anticipated movie, I guess, coming out in the next year or so, whenever it comes out, who knows.
So anyway, though.
It replaced Texas Chainsaw Massacre after I saw that goddamn fucking teaser. I'm going to hide the fucking casket. Dumbass.
I don't know. We'll talk about this, but I've got some things that I want to share, my own personal feelings.
Yeah?
Scream Factory, the genre division of Shout Factory that we know and love.
Well, we know them.
Yeah. Took a special announcement where they said for the next couple of months on Fridays, they'll reveal a title plan for a future release, which is part of a new licensing deal that they struck recently. The first ones out of the crate are Terrorvision and The Nest.
Right.
Now, somebody did the fucking Nest, didn't they? Like a DVD? Because I remember.
I don't think I've ever seen The Nest.
I want to say Code Red did that or somebody did
that.
That
doesn't even count then.
Yeah, but somebody did that recently. Like a DVD of it. I know that.
Right.
The Terrorvision's one that I've always heard people talk about. Never seen that movie.
Yeah, what's weird, too, is like if you have Netflix streaming, you can actually watch it in high def already. So,
yeah.
I mean, to me, that announcement is, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people care about that because that's another Empire Pictures deal. And, you know, our buddy over there, he probably loves the hell out of it. I mean, I guess it's cool and everything. And I honestly see Shout Factory as the kind of the, and a lot of people are saying this too, the new Anchor Bay in a lot of ways.
It is. Because
I think it's hard, man. I mean, you got to think because this business has been around releasing these cult titles for, 15 years now at least. And,
yeah.
You know, it's hard to.
There's still money to be made at that, though.
I guess there is, but I mean, it's hard to actually come out with, and the thing is that I'm thinking, because they're really, Shout Factory is going all out with these releases. I mean, slip covers.
Yeah, I was telling you, I got the Halloween 3 Shout Factory release in, and it looks fucking amazing. Like, when I saw it and was, like, looking at it and opened it up and everything, like, I knew, even though I have, like, a lot of mixed feelings about that company right now, that I was going to buy every one of those fucking releases that they put out, just because it... It just visually is awesome, like the packaging and the way it's set up and everything.
Yeah, they do it right. Not a lot of companies do that anymore.
Yeah. And that actually, I don't know if people realize how important that is to some fans.
Yeah, I mean, the whole art of that thing is kind of gone now, too. I mean, it just seems like, especially with mainstream studios, too.
They never do it. And then it was funny because this is how it worked out. Amazon shipped these together in the same thing. It was the Halloween 3 Shout Factory release and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 Blu-ray release. And that fucking Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 looks like shit compared. It's all rusty chainsaw, bitch.
Well, I don't know if you saw what I posted on of the German Blu-ray of Texas Chainsaw 2.
I did, yeah. Which was actually the cover.
Why? I mean, they could easily have done that. Why?
I don't know. And that shit looks awful. Like, that fucking Blu-ray looks horrible, man. Like, just, and it just looks like
we're talking about the cases, though. You haven't seen the...
Yeah, I haven't even looked at the Blu-ray. I'm just talking about the way that our artwork looks on the outside. It's just so It's like thrown it's
together.
Like, it's like you could tell by looking at it that somebody was just like, you know, Saw's really popular, and they do this same.
Well, I think
shit.
They kind of lifted the font from the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre as well. So they're thinking, oh, some dumbass thought it had something to do with that.
Yeah. And that was it. It was. But yeah, if you look at those two back to back, like I did, I'm sitting there holding both of them. I'm like, this is the Shout Factory one is infinitely better, the quality of everything on it.
Which, you know, honestly, I'm hoping. And I don't know what the deal is, because I know Don Coscarelli, I don't know how many years left with what. Don Coscarelli is one of those guys that actually owns the Phantasm movies. I mean, he licensed them to distributors to make, you know. So they've got Phantasm 2. You know, they already got that. We don't know. That's coming later. We don't know. I'm hoping that Shout Factory, that he'll license that shit over, you know, we're talking 1, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
And I would love to see them do like a special Blu-ray set of all the Phantasm movies. That would be like an ultimate edition for me.
Yeah. But now keep in mind, I haven't even looked at what the movie quality is. Like, it could be a piece of shit. Like, it could look like pure ass. But probably not. The thing that I don't get, though, and I really do in my heart believe this, too. Like, the whole thing with Shout Factory was that originally I'd contacted them and they were like, yeah, we'll send you all these releases when they come out. Didn't tell me what format they were going to send them on or anything, but said they would send them and everything. And in between that, and now there was other titles from Shout Factory that we reviewed, and I had to send the audio links off to the woman that we reviewed them. I can't help but think, and this is the only thing that makes any sense, that she must actually listen to the show and be like, God damn it,
here's what people should look at.
My
though.
Product regardless associated
of,
with yeah, whatever.
Regardless of what we sound like, go on there. I mean, look at the amount of people we could reach is the thing. Like, I mean, they're sending some of these to people that I've never fucking heard of, websites I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know we're not the most popular goddamn site by far, but still.
We're the best, though.
Yeah. Our opinion matters.
Yeah. We're much better than all the rest of those sites.
At the end of the day, though, I think that Shout Factory is one of those companies that fans should support just because they're doing something right, you know. And I'm just afraid that, you know, much like everything else, not enough people are going to buy these releases. I mean, maybe the Halloween ones will do okay, but who knows what the other ones will do. I mean, yeah. You've got... I think they released the artwork for the Deadly Blessing
looks
earlier
awesome.
Today, which
yeah.
looks pretty cool. I don't know who did the artwork on that.
Nathan Milner.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
You know, we'll just have to keep... I think they're going to be announcing some other titles tomorrow, too, or on by the time you guys hear this. So we'll have to see what those are.
Yeah, I mean, I went ahead and, to be honest, like, I don't like the way that company does business with us, per se. Like, I don't like the way that whole thing was handled, but I can't deny that their product is really amazing. So I went ahead and, like, I bought the fucking Funhouse. I pre-ordered that one, and I know that I'll go ahead and pre-order the They Live.
Did you buy my copies, too?
Yeah. Okay. I went ahead and did that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's no problem.
So anyway, that's it for the news. Again, not a whole lot of news, but we can ramble on about any goddamn thing, can't we?
Yeah, we can.
Convention this weekend, September 21st through 23rd, Pittsburgh, PA, the Crown Plaza. Our good buddy Tim Gross helps out at this show, so we're definitely going to mention the guests include Ken Foree, Sid Haig, Doug Bradley, Rochelle Davis, Lori Cardell, Tiffany Shepis, and much, much more.
Go to WhoreRealm.com.
They should fly Dead Pit up there, boys.
They should. Up Steel Town. We can go up there and see all that shit we want to see forever.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Probably get into a fight with a couple people.
Who's up there in Pittsburgh?
I don't know. That's the same crowd, some of those guys.
I don't know, honestly, how
I ain't got no.
I don't know how those guys, like the ones you're thinking of in Pittsburgh.
Yin's guys.
Think about all that stuff. I don't know if I would like to think they're smart enough not to pick sides with a lunatic.
No offense to some of those guys, but for some reason, I found that northern people are fucking dumbasses. A lot of the time.
Have you?
Yeah. Like, honestly, a lot of them do not get any kind of humor at all. I think, like, everything we say is completely, like...
Yeah, we're straight. We're serious about all this. Yeah. We're super serious.
So, it is what it is. Also, next weekend, We're going to be at the Scarefest in Lexington, Kentucky. I know that they've had some gas difficulties over the last couple of days, to say the least. I know Clive Barker canceled out on them, which, honestly, I mean, I think you and I both kind of knew that he probably wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, the guy's had, in the last couple of months, like major health concerns and all that shit that happened with that crazy guy that was accusing him of all that stuff.
Well, man, from what I heard, at one point in time, he was like, they thought he was dead or he was going to die. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a promoter to show or anything. But the thing is like, if you know somebody, I would have, if it been my show, I would have like just been, okay, we're just, let's get somebody else quit. Because, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he knew or whatever else, but he's sure taking a lot of flack. I do know that. I've received a few messages and.
Well,
Of people are talking shit, of course.
I mean, I don't want to add on to it by talking shit, but I would say that everybody pretty much that I talked to knew he wasn't going to show up. I mean, not knew for certain, but knew that his health and everything had been happening had been so shitty that he probably wasn't going to be making conventions and things like
that.
Now, we always like to hold out hope for that kind of thing to happen, but realistically, there are certain people that you just should not book at conventions, and he's one of them. Like, he's one of those guys
he cancels most of them.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, for one reason or another. So, but, you know, I know they're going to have one of about 500 different Walking Dead reunions there, and they're also going to have... I'm sorry, man.
You've got a real fucking hard time with The Walking Dead, don't you?
I would be fine never seeing a fucking motherfucker. I don't give a fuck if it was one of the main guys or not. Like, I am so fucking over that show, man. I watched the first season of it. I see it every goddamn where. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, it is oversaturated, and I would be willing to bet that after this next season, that's probably going to be the life of that. I would say it starts going downhill.
Like, I just don't see how you can make a show with that plot interesting. It's just, it's never ending.
Oh, God, those dead people. It's fucking dramatic bullshit going on in between.
It's one of those series, and I agree. Somebody said this a long time ago, and I think I talked to you about it, but I really do agree with this. It's not a good show. It's really not. It's one of those shows, though, where you watch it because you hope that it gets better. Yeah, because it has a lot of potential, but it never lives up to the potential. So you're just always kind of watching it like, maybe something killer will happen.
Yeah.
It's like wrestling now.
Honestly, man, there are shows out there, and I don't want to be mean or anything, although I usually am, that cater to morons. And I did not think that when I saw the pilot. I mean, I was like, holy shit, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
But then after that pilot episode, you kind of got the feeling of what the show was going to be like. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
And then I was like, god damn. I mean, this is just...
Well, you said
this is technically a show about nothing, really.
Was it you that said it, or was it somebody else that said it, that people that like that show don't like horror films, or don't know anything about horror films, or something like that?
Well, I think it's true. I mean,
it's two separate.
Yeah, I think the Walking Dead audience, not everyone, but a large percentage aren't horror fans. I mean, they're just not. That just happens to be because it's not a horror show. Really, I mean, it's got horror elements to it.
Yeah, it's much more of a drama. Yeah. It really is. Yeah, I kind of have a tendency to agree with that. Although, like, I do clearly like horror films and I do watch that show, but I think that the vast audience that show caters to is not people like us.
No,
like it's
and it shouldn't be. I mean, that's not why I don't like it. I mean, you know, I there are shows that I watch that aren't horror at all that I like. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean it couldn't be a good show. I just don't think it's good.
And it really hasn't been very good in the last year. Especially.
And I'm just, and I think the thing with the conventions where they're everywhere at conventions, and you run into the fans everywhere, and I'm just so sick of it. I'm just tired of it.
The one thing, too, that got me, although I do like the show, the idea that the one girl that was one of the main zombies was charging like
$30
to do a photo op or something.
Yeah. That fucking girl, you said they'd eat a sandwich?
Yeah, it's like, God almighty.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, man. I mean, stuff like that, and I think that there, someone was telling me that some of the larger, like, I think, what is that guy's name? John Berthanel, who I think is actually coming to Scarefest.
Yeah.
He's actually going to be there, from what I understand.
Bernthal, I think. John Bernthal, yeah.
And, you know, you got Jeffrey DeMunn, who I think is he in the show? I think he's in the show, isn't he?
Yeah.
And, some of the guys that are actually actors in the show. Okay. They have it in their contracts that they don't want any of the walkers there. Like, some of them, I don't know which ones in particular.
Well, it makes sense if you think about
it. Because they're just coming out of the woodwork, man. I mean, there's one guy that Adam Beck was showing me today. I can't remember his fucking name, but he's got a website. And he has, like, I was in the rain sequence in episode 4 or something. I was a zombie in the rain.
Yeah, buddy, you were.
And this guy's booked at a goddamn convention.
Of course.
So.
It reminds me of that, almost like that Lou David thing, where that guy was going to show up. It wasn't really booking Lou David, because who would know, really? Like, just be like, hey, give me some money.
What's sad is, though, is Lou David actually looks like he did in the movie now, though.
He
really does. Yeah. He looks like Cropsy. But the thing is, like, there comes a point when, like, I guess you see so much of something and you're just so, I mean, I was sick of it last year. You know, I never watched one episode of season 2 because I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of, like, all these assholes showing up at conventions and taking advantage of stupid people. Even though stupid people should be taken advantage of usually.
Yeah, I mean, we are trying to rise above hate, but not if you're stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the key. So, yes, but Scarefest, going back.
What else? Oh, who else is at Scarefest? D. Wallace is going to be there. You've got,
I think Chris Sarandon.
Chris Sarandon.
Stephen Jeffries.
Yeah. You've got Derek Mears is going to be there.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen him at a show.
Nope.
And, you just go to thescarefest.com. They actually have a huge, guest list for the paranormal side, too. So check it out. We'll be there selling the brand new Dead Pit Rise Above Hate t-shirt.
Because that's what we do. We rise above.
There'll be 20 of them.
You got to rise above.
Yeah. You got to hashtag rise above hate. So what DVDs and Blu-rays are coming out this week, Uncle Bill?
For September the 25th, you've got American Horror Story, the first season on Blu-ray, which I'm hoping to actually fucking get that screener. It'd be amazing because I love that show.
Who's fucking releasing it?
I can't remember, but I got like the thing. The Avengers on Blu-ray and Blu-ray 3D.
And DVD.
Fuck DVD, buddy.
Like, that was something else I was thinking about, too. They still make new DVDs, right? And I was noticing, like, even brand new shit that just came out on DVD, like on Go Hastings, it's used for like $2.
Fuck him, DVD.
Like, once you buy a DVD, if you ever want to get rid of it, you're basically getting raped.
Yeah.
Compared to what you pay.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Blu-ray holds value, too, and it's killer.
The Tall Man on Blu-ray, though, which stars Angus Scrimm, that'd be a good movie.
Boy!
One of my favorites from when I was a kid, Strippers versus Werewolves, is coming out.
That's a family classic.
Yeah, on Blu-ray. And Arachnophobia is on Blu-ray, which I remember watching that when I was a kid. I remember thinking that was lame when I was a fucking kid, though.
I think I saw that when it came out in the theater, and I've never seen it since.
Yeah, it's just kind of there. It occupies space. There you go.
So there we go. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have some announcements. And we're going to talk about the movie business. And then that'll be a show.
Business, if you will.
We're going to both get that graph up and talk about some of that shit.
All right, let's graph it out.
DeadPeer.com.
Right.
From the creator of Halloween and the star of The Exorcist, Linda Blair in Hell Night. Garth Manor, where the unseen, the unspeakable, hides its terror in cobwebbed corridors. Linda Blair, Vincent Van Patten, and Peter Barton in Hell Night. From Compass International, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
When was the last time you were scared out of your wits by a movie? Halloween, the motion picture about the most terrifying night of the year. Halloween, the night three teenage girls discover the real trick is to stay alive.
Tommy,
Halloween, the night he came home. From Compass International Pictures, rated R.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to the program. We're getting ready to do something completely different right now. We're getting ready to talk about the state of films, basically, and not just the state of horror films, but basically the state of original filmmaking.
Yeah, the state of cinema in itself.
Which, you brought this to my attention. I hadn't seen this yet. I don't know who came up with this chart or anything, but it is very eye-opening. Which is, the centerpiece of this conversation is going to be this chart, which details in decades, meaning it starts in 1981, then moves from into 91, then 2001, then 2011. It only details out of the top 10 highest grossing films.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. Which ones were originals, which ones were adaptations from something else, and which ones were sequels. So, it's pretty, just to look at this is pretty astounding.
Yeah. Especially seeing the trend over the last 10 years or so. I mean, it's sad more than anything else because, you know, you thought movies 10 years ago in the early 2000s were bad. But, I mean, now, and this list, of course, has... You know, it's like a graph, kind of. It has, you know, the sequels, the adaptations, the originals. And in 1981 is the year the graph starts. You had all but two of the top 10 were original movies. That means they were just based on a script that was written to make a movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, based on nothing else. So you fast forward 10 years and, you know, a lot of the adaptations were popular then. But, you know, you still only had three sequels out of everything in the 1990s.
And if you look at this, too, and I'm gonna go through some of these here in a second, but if you look at it, when they say adaptations in the 90s, it was mostly, like, books or like...
Yeah, like Silence of the Lambs, they have that.
Yeah. But now when you start getting into, like, the later 2000s, when you're talking about adaptations, you're talking about solely either, like, comic books... Or, fucking shit like, well, we'll get into that in a second. Let's start with 81, first of all. If you go back in time.
Right.
Raiders of the Lost Ark was one of the big ones. On Golden Pond was a big one. Superman 2 was one of the only two sequels on that, on this list. Arthur.
Which I'm surprised that actually made. I mean, I don't remember that being a big hit, but I guess it was.
Yeah. Stripes, which all these movies I've named to me are all awesome movies. Yet Cannonball Run, which who can say anything about Cannonball Run? Chariots of Fire, For Your Eyes Only, which is a James Bond movie. I don't really consider that a sequel. It's like part of a huge fucking
right. But line I mean, it was films. Wasn't the James Bond. Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about James Bond, so just go on.
Okay, The Four Seasons and Time Bandits. Okay, all those movies with the exception of two were original. Made
right.
For film movies. And it occurs to me that when you look at this shit, man, people don't really even make movies anymore, do they? They don't, in the sense of actually like making.
Yeah, especially if you look at that list, compare it to 2011. I mean, fuck, look at this shit. Harry Potter 9. Which I don't. Somebody said that was a mistake. They've only made 8 Harry Potters. Whatever.
They made 8? I didn't know they made 8 in Fox movies.
You got Transformers 3, Twilight Saga 4, Hangover Part 2. Dude, don't even get me started on the goddamn Hangover movies.
Yeah.
I mean, that is shit. The people that go to see those movies, I just hate. I really do. I try to rise above hate. But, like, that shit is not funny, I don't think. I think it's stupid. Pirates of the Caribbean 4, God damn it. You couldn't pay me to watch one of those Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Fast 5, which, I really like that movie. I like that quite a bit, but I'm a fan of the Fast and the Furious movies. So I will stick up for that one. I actually did enjoy that movie. Cars 2, I don't give a fuck about that shit. Thor, which I haven't seen. That was one of the only adaptations. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which honestly...
That's the best movie on there that I've seen out of this list of movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good movie, too. But I don't even know, like, I guess it's a sequel or a prequel or whatever you want to call it, but I honestly think that that was more of an original movie than people give it credit for. But Captain America was the last one on the list, and that was an adaptation. So in 2011, you had 8... sequels and 2 adaptations and no original.
Not a single fucking original movie in that list.
That made money, at least.
And I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I was looking at 2001, and that's not much better of a fucking year for movies now that I looked at this. Because, like, okay, in 2001, you had the Planet of the Apes fucking remake.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which was the Mark Wahlberg one. You had Jurassic Park 3. You had Ocean's 11, which is another movie that I fucking hate movies like it. Pearl Harbor. That got you could you talk about a movie you couldn't pay me enough to watch. You could strap me down.
Have you never seen Pearl Harbor?
It seems like I tried to watch it on TV one time, but then like yeah. my brain.
I remember the movie, like, for one thing, the movie lasts over 3 hours long.
Which isn't it is fucking ridiculous. Michael Bay, too? Like, yeah. A 3 hour long Michael Bay movie was like my idea of hell, really.
But like the whole Pearl Harbor thing, and everybody knows, like that, in a movie like that, you know what the fuck is going to happen, God damn it. Pearl Harbor, you know, it's not like, oh, God, it's a big surprise. And fucking, they're going to bomb it.
Oh, you've got, but look, listen to some of this other shit, too. The Mummy Returns, fucking Rush Hour 2.
Yeah, Rush Hour 2 is awful.
Monsters, Inc., which I honestly haven't seen. Shrek, which
yeah,
is a good
Shrek's
movie.
Right.
And then to me, though, like, I know you differ on this, but to me, like, you got Harry Potter, the original, and Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Rings, which...
They consider that an adaptation. I guess it is an adaptation, because...
Yeah.
But
I could care less about almost every single movie on that list, too, to be honest.
Yeah, I honestly think, though, the movies of today actually look worse, in my opinion. I mean, the ones that from last year. I mean, I honestly think, like, the studios, I think a lot of problems is the studios. I mean, because a lot of the movies anymore, and of course it's been like that for a while, that get nominated for awards, you know, Best Picture and stuff. How many of those movies actually receive a wide release in the theater?
Yeah, that's true.
Or
not
many
of them. Because that one that got Best Picture last year.
Oh, that's that goddamn silent movie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fucking see it anyway.
I would have never, ever, even probably fucking heard about that had not been for that.
But, I mean, it tells you, I mean, what do people, this is basically telling us, this graph here, what people go to see at the theater, you know. I mean, the highest grossing movies. And, like, I mean, I can remember the days of actually going in a theater and seeing a movie like Shawshank Redemption and being like, I mean, experiences like that. And even going to see, you know, some horror movies and stuff, like when we saw The Devil's Rejects, where we walked in the movie wanting to fucking hate it, but we couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it was that good. Or when we were, like, in a movie theater with, like, 2 other people, and we saw this movie that everybody on the internet was talking about called High Tension, and that was one of the strangest things that we ever got to see in the theater,
uh-huh.
because I just didn't understand how they got it. But you just don't... Anymore, man. I can't remember the last movie I went to see in the theater and I was absolutely blown away.
I was trying to think. I can't even.
I guess the closest one would be Insidious.
Yeah, that had to be.
That was a rarity.
But it's astonishing to me that people don't make films. Like, they really don't make the idea of you come up with an idea for a film, and you write it, and somebody directs it, and like, it's you make a film. And they obviously don't do that, because clearly that's not what people give a fuck about going to see. It's like, no. All this other stupid sequels and remakes and shit. But I think that actually translates even to, like, other things, too. Like, I was sitting around today, unfortunately, made the mistake of trying to listen to the fucking radio. And it was like, people just stopped making music, too. Like, the shit that...
Well, the way I look at it, too, and I tell people, and people get pissed off at me at work because I say this. If you're a music fan, you don't just listen to the fucking radio.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't. You go and look for the type of music that you like. And I honestly think it's getting that way with the movies, too. I mean, if you're a fan of cinema, you know, and that's the thing I like most about Netflix, too. I mean, you'll find stuff on there that you've never fucking heard of. Like I was telling you about that, the documentary on Pentagram. I'd never heard shit about that, and it's fucking great. It was one of the best documentaries I've seen in a long freaking time. And you can just search for stuff on there, and, you know, a lot of the times it's stuff that there's the theaters, I don't know if they're saturated or the studios don't want to spend the money to get the wider release in the theater or what, but they're not getting their chance, and a lot of these movies kick the fuck out of the mainstream. I mean, honestly, like, it's no comparison, because I see the mainstream more and more. The theaters that come out, or the movies that come out in a theater, like a fast food. Like, okay, yeah, you idiots, cram your asses in there, see this stupid shit, and you won't think nothing about it tomorrow.
I wish to God that was the marketing campaign. Like, idiots, get out there and see this stupid shit.
Well, it really is, though. It's a lot like fast food. I mean, you hurry and get your fix, you're done, you go on about your fucking day. You know?
I think that's the part about this that's most insulting to me, because of all the movies made, of the top 10 movies in the 2001 and 2011 that we mentioned, I don't care about any of those movies. Like, I don't ever think about those movies. I never go back and, like, rewatch any of those movies, and could really care less about any of them. But then when you look back at, like, 81, 91. And keep in mind, for the people that would say...
Well, there were shitty movies in 81, 91, too. I mean, movies that I just wouldn't watch.
But for the people that would say that this is all based around nostalgia and stuff about us, like, watching these movies when we were kids, we were one when the movies fucking came out in 81, so I know that's not it.
Yeah, but a lot of people would say, oh, you watched them on HBO and shit when you were...
Not a lot of these. Not a lot of these I didn't even watch until I was probably much, much older, too.
But if you look, I mean, honestly, like, you know... Time Bandits and like on Golden Pond. I mean, I guess it's a good movie and everything, but that's not something I'd fucking watch. I mean, that's something like your fucking parents watch and shit. I can't stand watching Jane Fonda in anything. I've always hated that bitch.
You didn't like 9 to 5?
No. And if you go on to the 90s, I guess we haven't talked about the 90s yet, but Terminator 2 kicked the fuck out in 1991. I mean, that, you know, I can remember the time that movie, goddamn, that movie. I think it broke a ton of records that year.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about. I saw it moving to theater, and, I mean, that's the experience I miss, you know. I mean, I love going to see a movie in a theater, and it's like, you know, movies just aren't special anymore. I don't know what it is. I mean, in particular, what happened, you know. But there's shit, too, I mean, that came out. We can go through that as well, but you want to go through that list?
Yeah, you got... Robin Hood, which I actually didn't mind when I saw it in the theaters, thought it was a fairly decent movie.
Right.
It's a hell of a lot better than the Russell Crowe fucking Robin Hood that came out.
That's not Robin Hood Men in Tights, is it?
No.
That was a sequel.
Yeah, that was a sequel. Beauty and the Beast, which is a Disney movie, which you have to admit is awesome.
We can't really comment on that.
Yeah. Silence of the Lambs, probably one of the better psychological horror films.
I always love Silence of the Lambs.
City Slickers, which I actually like.
I don't really give a fuck about that.
Hook, which was a huge... I thought that was a flop, actually.
Well, must not have been. Not. I mean, it's not that good of a movie.
No.
I think that was the movie that... I believe Nick Castle wrote that or something.
Yeah, he did.
And that was, like, his big break as far as, like, you know, Making money, I guess.
Everybody shit on
Spielberg
it.
Directed it. I remember that.
And you got the Addams Family, which I actually did enjoy. Sleeping with the Enemy. I don't even really remember that movie.
That's the one with Julia Roberts and Kiefer Sutherland's like the abusive husband. It's actually a pretty good movie.
Okay.
I don't remember it making a lot of money. I guess it did.
Father of the Bride, which was Steve Martin. I don't remember that one at all. Naked Gun 2.5.
I'm over that shit.
Yeah, I don't watch that stuff anymore, but I do remember liking that when it came out.
Maybe when you're a kid, you like it.
Yeah. But I think part of the reason why movies are not special anymore is because nobody really makes any of these movies. Like, if you go from 91 to 2011, you go from like 6 sequels. You go 2001, you had 6 sequels in the top 10, and then 91, you had 3. So it's like progressively people got lazier and lazier and more like content to try to rehash.
Yeah, not coming up with new ideas.
Yeah.
It's depressing, man, because, I mean, I remember, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, you know, of course, this was probably around that time when we started doing those film festivals and stuff, where we would see 3 or 4 movies in a weekend, and they were movies that we actually wanted to see. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to say all of them were great, but you're lucky anymore if there is one fucking thing out that you have any half interest in seeing. I mean, it's really true. Like, I mean, just think of all the stupid Kevin James movies. I mean, you could just talk about, we could make a show about stupid movies with Kevin James in it. Like, he's got one now where he's like a UFC fighter or something. The lowest common denominator goes and sees that shit. Fucking dumbasses. And the same people go see, like, Adam Sandler movies, too. Fucking dumbass.
That's another guy, though, like, that you want to talk about somebody that just completely sold his soul.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't give a fuck at all anymore.
Oh, my God, man. The movies, you can tell. The goddamn movies that he makes. That,
man, up to a point, he was, I mean, all of his stuff, I really liked all of his stuff.
Yeah.
And then, like, then come Mr. Deeds, I guess. And then everything since then is just shit.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, I just think he was like, I don't even care anymore. Just pay me. And that's probably his philosophy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess you can't blame him because,
well, there's a lot of guys that do that, though, man.
Not a
whole
Nero's
another one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, God,
well, there's
damn.
Not a whole lot of people making. I mean, I guess you've got to do that. I mean, you got to fucking, I mean, I don't know if he has to act or not, but some of these guys, I mean, they have to make money. They're actors. There's nothing good coming around, so.
It's all changed, though. Like, the whole entertainment industry model has changed completely now to where everything, even music, is just rehashes of older things. Like all the shit with fucking Kid Rock and Puff Daddy and sampling all that shit. It's just, and even the pop music that's out now that's not supposedly like a remake is basically a remake of other versions of pop music. Like, it's just exactly the same type of shit. The same thing with the movie industry. It's like, it all changed. Somehow or another, like, the whole idea about how to make movies and music and things just changed.
And I don't know what you think about this, and I've talked about this on various things that I've recorded and shit. Do you see a point in time where, like, the movie theater experience could be over? Like,
yeah, I could see that within the next 10 years.
Yeah, because that's what I was talking. People just don't agree with it and say that the businesses are... Let me tell you something, man. I mean, this past summer, you had the Batman movie and you had the Avengers. And that was the only shit that made any decent amount of money. I mean, nothing else. Like, I think the Spider-Man movie did okay. But
it's all like, the whole...
And that's the big time of year, though. I mean, that's where the movies make a lot of money. So what are we going to have in the fall and in the spring?
I can foresee a time when, like, not only does the movie industry die, but the music industry dies too. Like, a lot of those things don't happen anymore. You have digital everything, like digital downloads for songs and that's it. And then fucking like digital downloads for movies and that's it. And I see that as being something that happens really, really soon.
Well, the thing is too, is the movie studios, they want it to get to a point. And I'm not completely against it because, I mean, I don't have much room for a lot more shit, to be honest with you. there's going to be a point to where they want you to buy a movie, but you're not going to physically own anything. You might, they might give you the rights to have the movie on your player.
Right.
And it's going to, it's like that with music already. I mean, it really is. People aren't buying CDs anymore.
No.
It's just, it's not
dead.
Happening.
That's what I'm talking about. That format's dead. Yeah. Like, I can see all of the ways that, that music and movies were sold, and it's going to die.
And the streaming technology for movies is moving so quick that it's going to take over as well. I mean, I'm watching HD movies on Netflix. That's not perfect. It's not Blu-ray quality yet, but it's close. And in the next couple of years, it's going to be Blu-ray quality. And it's convenient, man. The most of the people that watch movies aren't like us. They don't want, they don't really care, you know.
Right.
So for them to have like the Vudu thing, which you can watch new movies on, you know, newly released movies, rent them or whatever, which that is, that's pretty much Blu-ray quality right now.
I think that the problem is with a lot of people is they care in as much as they think other people care. Meaning, if they know somebody that says this is the this is the big new thing and you got to do this and this is like, this is so fucking awesome, then they'll care. But just in terms of caring about a film in particular or how it looks or anything like that, I think there's very few people that, that really give a fuck.
And honestly, like, I'm getting to the point where, I mean, I'm already like it with music, really. I don't buy CDs anymore. I mean, I haven't for a while.
I only buy used CDs. Like, I couldn't even tell you the last time I bought a new CD.
And for people like us that have thousands and thousands of discs and shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to have to fucking look for every damn thing and try to find it. Netflix is convenient, man. I mean, it really is. Like, I know you don't have it yet or anything. You'll probably be getting it pretty soon.
Yeah, I'd say that'd be true.
And it's just like, it's there. You can fucking watch it, you know. And you don't have to fucking worry about, you know, your disc scratching or, you know, worrying about, you know, when something comes out, I've got to go to Walmart and get it or whatever. I just see that it's, that's going to be the next format. You're not going to have a format. It's going to be streaming. And the, in 5 or 10 years, that for that, you know, the streaming stuff is going to take over. I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. That's how it's going to be. Cause sooner or later, you're going to have the, you know, the entire Blu-ray quality movie on Netflix or Vudu or whatever it is. And then, you know, you got the new 2K and 4K TVs eventually coming out and it'll keep progressing more and more.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And I think that that as well is going to spell the end of the movie theater thing too.
You know, the thing that bothers me the most though, this is another thing I was thinking about just today, but it was in reference to music, is that there's this whole idea that it bothered me for a long time, but I didn't really know why. And it occurred to me today, the whole idea of you can't complain about anything because if you complain about something, then that means that you're just too old to appreciate.
You're haters.
Yeah, you're too old to appreciate what is going on now or whatever.
Right.
But to me, it seems like people should be a lot more fucking pissed off about certain things than they are. Like, they should be a lot more cynical and a lot more, like, upset about the fact that pretty much the whole format of things that you enjoy is going to disappear within, like, the next 10 years, like yeah. I said. And if you ever try to bring that up, people are like, well, you can go find independent.
You're change with the times.
You can find independent shit. Like, yeah, I mean, you can always find independent shit. Right. There's some dumbass that's going to be making something in his basement, like, all the time. But the point was is that something, somebody gets a hold of something, right? And they realize that it has a lot of potential, and a bunch of other people get behind it, and then it becomes a big thing, and it's basically validated. Like, there's a group of people that look at something and, like,
if
used
it
to
gets
be,
so popular,
yeah,
it's already, like,
and it crazy. Gets validated, and then there's a reason it gets validated, and it goes out to other people, and they enjoy it. But that's not the way it is anymore. Now it's like, we're going to put all this shit out.
What do you think, though, about the streaming thing, though? I mean, do you think that it's good or bad?
Fuck. Well, like you said, it's convenient, but at the same time that it's convenient, it kills the other ways that we're used to things, like, and right. The idea of, like, going to movies and having, like, collections of things and or even having a hard copy anything, it kills those
right.
those ideas. So I don't really know. Like, it's... personally, I don't like it because I actually enjoy...
like we were talking about, the Shout Factory stuff.
Yeah, but not only that, but it goes back to when we were talking about The Walking Dead. Like, I know the potential that seeing a movie in a theater has, like, if it's done well. So you're kind of always waiting for that to happen again. It just never fucking happens now, but, like, you're always waiting for that to live up to its potential. And the same thing with music, which never happens anymore either. Like, it's always a bunch of shit. Like, that, there's never a band now, like Nirvana or anything, that comes along and, like, completely fucking just changes everything. It's just you hear the same fucking type of shit. And same thing with movies. Like, there's never a movie anymore that comes along where it just changes the game. Like, fucking, it just... and so everybody's, I feel like everybody's just waiting for that to happen, but nobody's upset with the fact that it's clearly never going to happen. Like, it's just fucking not. Like, you're going to be sitting around watching the same type of shit for infinity, apparently.
But the way you got to look at it is, though, is like, and the way the movie studios have always been, and this is true, they always want to save money.
Yeah, especially now.
Because movies, let's face it, they're not making the money they used to make overall. I mean, you have your summer blockbusters, but what has come out, you know, in the last 2 years? I mean, this, you know, you've got your comic book adaptations.
That's it. That's what I was thinking. Like,
and I mean, where is that big, even shit like that sucked ass that just come out of nowhere? Like, you remember when, what in the fuck was that stupid Greek shit that was popular? Greek wedding.
Oh, my big
like
fat Greek wedding. Yeah.
When you had movies like that that came out of nowhere and just made money just because stupid middle-aged women like it, you know, you don't even have that anymore.
Like, well, for that matter, what the fuck happened to dramas?
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time you remember just a drama coming out?
You know, I mean, it's just weird. I mean, it's a weird time for movies, and the whole digital conversion thing, which we haven't even talked about, they're getting rid of the 35mm format, which has been around since the dawn of film, pretty much, in the theater, for basically a Blu-ray. You're watching a Blu-ray in a movie theater. You know, I mean, I'm thinking they're streaming it somewhere, and it's slightly higher quality than a Blu-ray, but I think you run into problems when you do that, because the people, for one thing, the format's completely different. And I noticed that when we were watching The Expendables. I think The Expendables was... it looked like a fucking DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah, it did. But, of course, to me, like, all those fucking Lionsgate movies look like that.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I mean,
you could take any movie. You could take fucking Avatar and have Lionsgate release it. It would look exactly like every other Lionsgate movie that ever comes out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think that we'll... over the next 10 years, it'll be interesting to see what in 2021 what things look like. I mean,
here's what I envision will happen by 2021. You'll just have like, let's see, who would be a good example of this? Fucking, I don't know, Demi Lovato or something will just walk out on the theater screen, just go duh, and people will be like, yeah, I kill.
And it's also got Ice Cube in it.
Yeah, just for no reason.
He's in it too. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, I think that the one big thing, the digital conversion and all that, is all of your small town theaters are gone. You know, basically, here in 2 or 3 years, they're not going to be around. And I think that that's going to hurt the business even worse. And I think the fact that, you know, Quentin Tarantino, I was watching something he said about it, that he hated it. He hates the fact that they're changing to digital because... and people don't think about it like this. 35mm is the same visual format as one of your old 35mm still cameras. So it's basically like a moving image. Each image is different. It's a different snapshot. And it has a magic look to it where it's like it looks more realistic. And,
yeah,
you know. And moving to that digital... and people... you can say what you want to, but honestly, it's nothing more than a Blu-ray, pretty much, than you can already get at your house. You can watch a movie in a movie theater with packed people, with kids making noise, cell phones going off, babies crying. that looks like something you could watch in your own home. You can pause it if you want to go shit or something. You can pause it if somebody calls, you know. You can enjoy the entire experience. You can turn your phone off or whatever for way cheaper. And I think that the digital thing is going to be, like you were saying, 10 years from now, I see theaters being like, you know, a thing of the past, really. I mean, mm-hmm. maybe in bigger cities and stuff like that, but
I think it's
a bad move.
The biggest, I don't know how to explain it, really, but the thing that bothers me the most about it is not the fact that digital is taking over, because I think everybody kind of knew that was going to happen a long time back. It's the fact that they are strangling out the 35mm business, too. Like, if anybody wanted to show, like, have a old theater where people could go and, like, be nostalgic and actually watch a 35mm film.
You can't do it.
They fucking just said, no. Like, we're not doing that anymore. We're not licensing any of this stuff out anymore. Which is insane. Like, it's just, why not? Like, because you're not going to be showing anything new.
Yeah, what are you going to do with your old film? Are you going to fucking
burn them? They probably will.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is...
Give them to us.
Yeah, we'll show them down here. But it's, I don't like it, and you know, we could be wrong, and the movie business here in 5 or 10 years could be huge, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening.
No.
And, you know, if you notice, too, on that graph, each decade, more and more goes down and down even more, you know.
What's that?
The quality of movies and the lack of original movies.
Yeah, the quality of the movies, especially when you go to like 2001 to 2011, and oh, fuck, you're just pissing in the wind at that point.
Yeah. So, anyway, that is, I guess that's, you have anything else you want to add to the discussions?
Yeah, fuck Michael Bay.
Michael Bay has destroyed all film.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, like, I really do hate to be down on shit, but we've got to be honest. I mean, it's just really.
I'd say most people would probably think this way anyway, but anytime you try to say anything, people, like, always jump down your throat.
You're like, God, I'm out of here. We go.
You know, and I've noticed, too, though, like, I think the voodoo thing is really going to be the next. And because they're doing it now. I mean, they're doing pre-theatrical, you know, for mainly a lot of independent movies, but you can rent movies before they come out in the theater. Like VHS was one of them, which I still haven't seen. But.
Yeah.
But anyway, that is it for the show this week. A couple of quick announcements. Of course, our contest that we're doing for Beyond the Black Rainbow. We have 10 DVD copies to give away of that. Go on the Dead Pit message board or email us deadpit@deadpit.com for your submissions.
Do it.
Now what?
This coming Saturday, we have the 30th anniversary screening of Mad Men in 35mm. We'd really appreciate anybody that wants to, if you can't even come, if you want to buy a ticket. If you want to buy the $7 ticket, I will mail everybody that does the $7 ticket a program if you can't come. So
will you?
I will.
But you're off the chain.
So if you want to get one of those programs, they're actually pretty cool. They're totally worth a dollar if you're there at the theater.
So yeah, I just looked through it, and it's got an amazing amount of information for
a dollar.
A dollar.
So we got that coming up. We got the big Halloween 35mm screening coming up next month in October. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, like I said, you should probably get on that one as quickly as possible.
Well, the tickets actually go on sale this Saturday for that, too.
So. Yeah. And bomb, I would buy it.
Bomb.
If I were you, because if any indication how many people ask us about that, then it'd probably be sold out quickly.
That's true. You can buy a bunch and maybe scalp them at the theater. Hey, boys, $15.
It'd be awesome if we had scalpers.
Get your ticket. But that's it for the show. I hope everybody enjoyed it. It was a little bit thrown together, but I think we did a pretty killer job, as always.
That's because that's what we do.
Yeah, that's just how we are.
We dominate the world of Horror Talk Radio.
We're the best in the world at what we do, and that is Horror Talk Radio.
Yeah. I don't want to toot my own horn, but toot, toot.
Yeah, it feels good to toot, toot your own horn, too, doesn't it?
Toot it.
So until next time, actually, we won't have a show next week. We'll be at Scarefest.
Oh, fuck all that.
Actually, one announcement that Uncle Bill needs to make is he will not be at Scarefest until Saturday
evening.
No.
I won't. I'm having a...
Have you ever noticed that? I think it's happened to every goddamn Scarefest.
I think it has too, yeah.
When was the last Scarefest we were there the whole weekend? Because I know, like, in 2010, we didn't get there until late on Friday.
Right.
2011, you didn't get there until Saturday evening either.
Right.
2000, I think it might have been 2009.
Yeah.
Might have been the last one.
Yeah. I'm having a dick canal done, though, so I can't... Are you? I can't really get out of that.
So, but I want to be down there, and we'll have the Dead Pit t-shirts for only $20.
Ooh!
Oh, my God!
And they're the brand new Rise Above Hate shirts.
That's right. That'll be exclusive to Scarefest. They will not go on sale on the website.
That's right. There's only how many of them? You say 20?
20.
God almighty.
So get down there and buy them. Buy them now. So next time, we'll see you guys next time. Actually, it'll be Rocktober by the next time we do a show. So
Rocktober.
We're going to try to have some stuff planned. We should really get on the ball and try to get some cool shit.
We should, but we probably won't.
Yeah, we will. We're not going to fuck. Listen, Uncle Bill, we're going to have a positive attitude. We're going to get some good people on the show.
Okay. I don't have any kind of problem having a positive attitude about wanting to do that. I got a problem getting Mike to come on the fucking show.
I think they will.
They better.
So we will be back in 2 weeks. Talking horror like only we can talk.
Because
we are the ballers and chalk callers of the whole goddamn game.
Fuck yeah!
Deadpit.com